Hello, and welcome to Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. I'm your host, Andrew Heaton, for the next few minutes. Because this is the last episode of the program, the Blaze and I are going our separate ways. Now, I know what you're thinking. Is it something I did? Is it something I said? If I had just worked harder in school, would Heaton stay? Listen, it's not your fault. And I'm always here to play catch with you or just talk to you about your day. So it's going to be a heavier episode than usual, but I don't really think that excuses us from our obligation to introduce you to some of the most amazing sponsors on the internet. So, the Something's Off with Andrew Heaton finale is brought to you by the Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation. Dogs are man's best friend, but they're held back by a single looming defect. No opposable thumbs. That digital deficiency keeps dogs from untying knots, working TV remotes, or easily operating doorknobs. Fortunately, there's the Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation, which uses your tax-deductible donations to pay surgeons to graft opposable thumbs onto dog paws so that they can experience the joy and fulfillment of operating power tools, opening a refrigerator door, or finally competing in Jenga tournaments. You probably know that dogs enjoy playing catch, but did you also know that dogs enjoy playing GoldenEye on Nintendo 64? Labrador Retrievers in particular excel at playing GoldenEye on the one-shot license to kill mode when playing with pistols. They're not very good at remote mines because they have poor spatial memory, but they can hold their own with simple point-and-shoot ballistics. If they have thumbs. So do your dog a favor, or better yet, donate enough to help an entire pack of dogs gain the gift of opposable thumbs. The Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation. Thumbs up, Fido! Before I bow out, I'd like to tell you why I did this program and why I'm proud of the journey that you and I have been on together. Last summer, I left New York for Austin, Texas, where I had rather thought I was done with political media. I wasn't sure what my next step was. Presumably, I would have fallen into becoming a supermodel, or maybe become a detective who dates supermodels. Regardless, I was pretty worn out from politics. Even before Donald Trump escalated everything, I had had more than my fair share of cocktail party conversations where the onus was on me to prove to strangers I'm not evil because I have an aberrant voting pattern, or more likely, I just don't use the right buzzwords. We're living in a really weird time right now, where people don't care what you say, they just care about the vocabulary you use to say it. They want to know whose team you're on so they can embrace you or dismiss you. And for those of us who really aren't on a team and pretty much despise the two big ones, it's getting more and more uncomfortable. Then I got a call from The Blaze with the offer to put my own show together. And I was reluctant. But then I thought, you know, this is a great opportunity to get paid to write horse jokes. And I had a deeper goal as well, which is fighting tribalism. As I have said many times on this program, good and intelligent people can disagree on matters of substance. I thought, and I still think, there need to be more people in media who are regularly making that point. And so I made it a point to bring on as many different viewpoints as I could and show myself and my guests either finding common ground or disagreeing but liking each other anyway. I'm immensely proud of what we've done here. For example, Phil Robertson came on the program. We talked about how he's a devout Christian and I'm a secular agnostic. Also, we talked about orgasms, which was as uncomfortable for me as it was for you. The very next day, we had on Nagin Farsad, who is a Muslim social justice comedian. That's a diversity of viewpoints and flavors of personality that I honestly do not think you could find on any other program. We've had on Chad Prather, who is a good friend of mine and a conservative who voted for Trump. We've also had on a transgender comedian, a feminist, my black lesbian Republican friend Deanna, a lot of incredible authors, a multitude of comedians, friends, and political orphans who I won't bother trying to label, but I have always enjoyed talking to. I'll add to that, I'm going to brag for a moment, I'll add to that that from a creative perspective, the sheer amount of writing and gags that went into this program is mind-blowing. To put things in perspective for you, a daily comedy show usually has a staff of 12 full-time comedy writers. We had me and Jennings. Jennings and I would brainstorm sketch premises, and I'd execute them, and we did it to the tune of about 8 a week, which is a lot. Well done, us. Good job, me and Jennings. I'm sad that the program has run its course. But I think at times like this, it's important to take stock of the positives. I've got good and supportive friends, a loving family. I now have the know-how to put together another great podcast in the future. But most importantly, I have opposable thumbs, which is why I so appreciate the efforts of the Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation, which tirelessly assists dogs in getting the manual dexterity they need to throw a frisbee using their paw hand, drive a go-kart, or properly swing a hammer. Years of excessive inbreeding have all but removed dog thumbs, and that's why it's so important that you donate money to the Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation so that their surgeons can graft thumbs onto golden retrievers. I could assure you, there's nothing a golden retriever or beagle finds more rewarding than becoming adept at woodworking. Everyone needs a hobby, and that includes dogs, who after opposable thumb surgery, finally gain the ability to whittle sticks with a tiny pocket knife. The Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation. Thumbs up, Fido! So we're gearing up for the next presidential election, and I have a feeling that the activists of the two major parties are going to accelerate the yay my team, death to your team mentality into high gear. Well, I don't buy it. The idea that everyone in our country falls into either red team or blue team is a false dichotomy. And the notion that a nation of 330 million people has two options is asinine. There are enraged people on the edges of American politics throwing bricks at each other, and a lot of exhausted people in between who didn't sign up for a brick-throwing fight. There is power to be had and money to be made in dividing us. There is power and money in the politics of hatred and fear. The last thing the two major parties want you to do is think for yourself. They want you to be so overwhelmed by anger and dread that you default on the home team. And there is a predominant media narrative that the people you disagree with aren't your opponents. They are existential enemies. They're not just wrong. They're willfully evil. I think the American people are smarter and better than the cynics who profit off of dividing us would have us believe. It's been an honor and a pleasure to try and counter that narrative. And at times frustrating. For the last couple of years, I've felt like I have been trying to do comedy in a minefield. There is an ever-present fear that if you say the wrong thing on Twitter, or you say the right thing the wrong way, or you don't speak up enough about the other right thing, or you accidentally admit to murder, that the internet will swarm all over you. And it's frustrating to be an actual independent and have partisans assume you're just a cowardly version of whatever team they hate. It's frustrating to think when everybody else just wants to shout. Kind of like how frustrating it would be to try to open a jar if you didn't have opposable thumbs. You guys ever see that movie Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey? Two dogs and a cat get left behind at a cattle drive by mistake, and they have to traverse half the country to get back to their family. A mountain lion tries to eat them, one of them gets attacked by a porcupine, and they nearly drown a couple of times. I think also they were on a raft at some point, but that might have been Milo and Otis, I don't remember. I do know that one of the dogs gets stuck in a pit for a while. Just think how much easier it would have been for those poor dogs if they'd had the ability to hitchhike. The Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation is making that very scenario a reality. Your tax-deductible donation takes a thumb from a human organ donor or a Kentucky prisoner and grafts it onto a deserving dog's paw through a talented surgeon. Just think how much joy you'll bring to a dog's life when it can finally operate a can opener or open pill bottles at its own discretion. Also, I assume if the dog gets lost or is convicted of a felony, that authorities can use the thumb for identification purposes, the way we currently do with chimps. The Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation. Thumbs up, Fido! Okay, we're nearly finished with the program. I have a couple of favors to ask of you. If you enjoyed this show, if you found it entertaining, or informative, or ideally, arousing, then I can't wait for you to see the other projects I've got in the works. Because I'm not dying. I'm still going to make stuff. But the only way to ensure that you'll be in the know next time I unleash the podcast, travel show, book, or hostage scenario is if you are subscribed to my newsletter. You're not going to be inundated. If anything, I write my newsletters too infrequently. But when the next big thing happens, the best way to find out about it is through the newsletter. And I would like to bring over this audience for whatever the thing is that I do next. There have been a bunch of times on this program where I did something that I viewed as a risk, and I was very worried about it, and it was fine. Because the people that listen to this program have been overwhelmingly open-minded, kind, and really only get bent out of shape about two things, and that's contempt and messing up science fiction references. So I would like to be able to take you all to whatever I'm doing next. So if you're not already subscribed, please go to www.mightyheaton.com/newsletter. Put in your name and email address and hit subscribe, and I'll take care of the rest. But if you want to take an even bigger step, you can. That is to say, you can put your money where your mouth is. Rather than consuming ads or going through a paywall, you can go to patreon.com, and once you're there, if you think it's important, you can contribute money to the Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation. How many times did that stupid kid fall into a well? How many times did Lassie have to run home and yap around until the humans figured things out? Wouldn't it have been simpler if Lassie had the digit manipulation necessary to hold a rope? Point. Sure, it's fun to finally be able to play Rock'em Sock'em Robots with your corgi, but it's important to equip guard dogs to operate handguns. Now, I know we haven't talked about guns on the program previously, and people feel pretty strongly about this issue, but whether you're an adamant Second Amendment supporter or you want restrictions on certain types of weapons, I think we can all agree if we can teach a German Shepherd how to fire a Luger, we should. Will arming dogs with guns have unforeseen consequences? It's possible. We have no way of knowing. But I'll tell you what. If I saw a sign which read, "Beware of armed guard dog," I would think twice about breaking and entering. The Opposable Thumbs for Dogs Foundation. Thumbs up, Fido. And if you still have money after that, I've decided to set up a Patreon page for myself. If you go to patreon.com/AndrewHeaton, you'll see a page for Andrew Heaton is creating a political orphanage. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I am not sure I want to keep doing political stuff. I'm going to take a couple of weeks off, maybe three, possibly go to Scotland, and clear my head and think about my next move and how I want my career to proceed. And it is entirely possible I'm going to stick with horse jokes and leave politics in the dust. I am not certain there's really a place for me in the media landscape. However, if you'd like to see me continue in this vein, and you want someone slopping gruel out to the other kids at the political orphanage, that might be the route I take. Again, that's patreon.com/AndrewHeaton. Before we wrap things up, I need to thank some folks. First, thank you for listening. It's a privilege to get paid to talk to people for a living. Not a lot of people in life ever get to experience that. Many of you have reached out to me to tell me how much you've enjoyed the program. And several of you have listened to every episode, even the duds. And I can tell you that I have worked harder on this podcast than any other job I've ever had. And I think Jennings would say the same. And it's extremely gratifying to find out that people actually enjoyed it and listened to it. Thank you. Next, I would like to thank all the people I've worked with here at The Blaze, particularly the production staff, who were forced to work on a really, really weird show. I would roll into the office on Mondays and I would say things like, "Hey, can you make a graphic for meat bullets?" And then find some laser sounds for a sketch I wrote about Milton Friedman on a steampunk pirate ship fighting the Muppets? And they'd just go with it and pretend it was a reasonable request. Thank you, guys. And I would like to especially thank Mr. Josh Jennings, who is my producer for only a few more minutes, but is my friend for life. Jennings, who would have thought we'd get to work together out of any context besides a prison yard? It has been a pleasure working with you, and a dream come true. We could live in the same city, go out to lunch, and brainstorm advertisements for meat bullets. I love you. And I thank you for everything you've done.
It's totally okay, Heaton. I mean, like you said, we're going to have a little house and a couple of acres and a cow and live off the fat of the land and breed rabbits. You said we're going to have a garden and breed rabbits, like in cages, and how thick the cream is on the milk and you can hardly cut it. Tell about that, Heaton. Tell about the rabbits.
Sure, Jennings. After we wrap up the show, let's you and I go out to the abandoned rock quarry, and I'll tell you all about the rabbits.
Sounds great.
Finally, I would like to thank Snuffy's off Route 44. Snuffy's has been like a second home to me. Whether I have a good day or a bad day, it's always a welcome sight to see a waiter or waitress taking orders and delivering food on horseback. If you've never had someone on a Clydesdale serve you corned beef hash in a diner, well, friend, you've never really had corned beef hash. You know, a lot of restaurants try and snag customers with bells and whistles, but Snuffy's has always been about the fundamentals. Good food, affordable prices, and 900-pound mammals that the staff can ride around on inside of a diner. Starting this week, Snuffy's will be doing karaoke on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. with Virgil the Songhorse. Now, folks, this is truly astonishing. Virgil the Songhorse, which is some kind of equestrian genius, can literally stomp to the beat of Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. Isn't that amazing? And apparently, that's the only song Virgil will stomp to, so the only available karaoke song will be Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. But if you like hearing strangers sing Sweet Caroline ad nauseum next to a Missouri foxtrotter, then you have found your place. Snuffy's off Route 44. Because everything tastes better from a horse. All right, before we wrap up the series, let's get to a little listener feedback. On YouTube, Gary Oderatron says, I absolutely love this show. I am confined to a hospital bed, and this program is a ray of sunshine in my life. Thank you so much. I have no idea how I would get through the day without the happy, nonpartisan content. Keep it up. Thanks. Thanks. That's very kind of you, and hope things shape up on your end, and you get to a good place. On iTunes, Dorothy Perkins says, if this program ever goes off the air, I am going to kill myself. It's the one life raft keeping me afloat on a sea of insanity. Thank you. I'm glad you've enjoyed the program, but you'll find other programs. There's a lot of good stuff out there. So heads up, you know, chin up, all that. Stiff upper lip. You'll be fine. On Twitter, Mikey says, I have frequent, unbearable urges to kill people, but I'm able to subdue that homicidal rage by listening to this program at least 5 times a week. Sure hope it never goes off the air, because I don't know what I'd do or who I'd do it to. Well, again, thank you for your listenership there, Mikey. I feel meditation is a worthwhile pursuit for everyone in general, but maybe in your case you should kind of put your elbows into it. Finally, on Facebook, Dr. Paul Bordison says, Andrew Heaton is a delightful nonpartisan jester. I am thrilled to announce that I have discovered a cheap, easily reproducible cure for cancer, which I look forward to divulging on Mr. Heaton's show next week. But only on Mr. Heaton's show. I will not divulge the cure for cancer anywhere else. I want to be absolutely clear. I have a cure for cancer and a specific venue in which I am prepared to share it. Oh, okay. We need to email that guy. I'm glad you've liked it. And I just encourage you to keep up the good work and, be more open to other venues, I guess, would be my parting thing to you, Doctor. Guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you. For Something's Off, This has been Andrew Heaton. Good day.